What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, where you'll find out what the Fukushima's going on.
And aloha, America. Welcome to our show today. It's Tuesday, April 17th, 2018, getting into the week here. A lot of stuff going on. Trump is meeting with Japan's Prime Minister Abe down at his Florida White House, and they're saying positive things about North Korea. We'll have more about that a little bit later. Anyway, the phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. Mike is in our control room, ready to answer the phone, put you on the air with your comments and questions, of which I'm sure you probably have a lot of today. And so let's just get right into the news, because there is a lot going on. Now, there's been some confusion over an attack that supposedly happened last night, where Israeli planes attacked an airbase in eastern Homs, and then somebody said it was a false alarm. Then there was this huge explosion in the Israeli-occupied part of the Golan, which is still unexplained at this point. But apparently the Syrian military is saying that, yes, indeed, the Israeli Air Force fired several missiles toward the Sheirat airbase and its surrounding area in the Homs governorate. And according to the statement, the Syrian air defense managed to intercept several of the missiles, but there was no mention as to whether or not the Israelis scored any actual hits or not. This is the second time in 7 days that Israel has targeted the eastern countryside of the Homs governorate. So Israel's just out there just punching away, trying to get something going. And the reason is very obvious. They don't want to surrender the Golan. They're occupying Syria's Golan Heights. They discovered huge amounts of oil and gas under it. They've already drilled wells. They're already making deals to sell it all. They don't want to give that money back. That's why Netanyahu was so upset when Donald Trump just a couple of weeks ago was talking about pulling out of Syria. Because once the U.S. is out of Syria, Syria is going to want to take that Golan Heights back. They're going to need that oil and gas revenue to rebuild their country after 7 years of war. Now, the chemical weapons inspectors from the Organization for the Prohibition of Chemical Weapons have finally reached the alleged Syria chemical attack site in Douma. Last night, there were headlines all over, oh, the Russians and Syrians are preventing them from getting there. They must be guilty. Pardon me. And there was a delay out of concern because of the attack last night that the U.S. could still launch a cruise missile into Douma to try and erase the evidence, or just make it impossible to find anything one way or the other. But they're on site right now. They're continuing, they're commencing their work. And so far, batting zero. But I feel obliged to warn the OPCW about any Americans who might be on their team, owing to this ugly incident that happened all the way back when the IAEA was asked to verify that Iraq was making weapons-grade uranium. Of course, the IAEA found nothing whatsoever. And then all of a sudden, they found some highly enriched uranium, just one tiny particle. And it was suspected that the Americans on the team had used a reference sample that they'd brought to basically plant the fake evidence. And when the IAEA asked for the Americans' reference sample to do an isotopic comparison with what had been found, the Americans simply destroyed the sample before it could be analyzed. Now, the U.S. government loves to play dirty. They're not following international law. They're not following the Constitution. They're just doing what they want to do. Whatever dirty trick they can pull to get out of this mess they've created for themselves with this lie, they're going to do it. And apparently, Russian soldiers have found yet another chemical weapons storage facility in a rebel base in the Syrian city of Douma. And the substances they found are thiodohyalcohol, diethanolamine, which are needed for the production of sulfur and nitrogen iperite. A chlorine balloon was found in the warehouse, the same as the one used by terrorists for directing a high-profile fake story. And Star TV said the warehouse was built in the basement of the residential building. And according to the experts of the Radiation, Chemical, and Biological Protection Units of Alexander Rodnov, the laboratory was used by terrorist organizations controlled by this city. So everywhere they go, they're finding chemical weapons materials, but always in the hands of the U.S.-backed rebels. Now, Robert Fisk is a well-respected journalist. He's been around for a lot of years, and he's sort of been shoved a little bit out of the mainstream because he made a name for himself back during the Iraq War by challenging the official story and saying it doesn't make sense. And he's got a reputation for just going on out on his own, putting his own safety on the line to get the story, and that's what he's done. He got himself into Syria, and he got into Douma, and basically says the video of the kids who are being hosed down and given this asthma medication, those kids had inhaled a huge amount of dust because apparently when the air raid sirens go off, everybody ducks down into these basements and tunnels to shelter from the attack, and the basements and tunnels are filled with all kinds of trash and dust, and there just happened to be a high wind at the time that threw all this dust into the air and made these kids sick. And the White Helmets grabbed this video and said, chemical weapons attack, and we were off to bombing Syria again with these $2 million a pop cruise missiles. We're going to do a shout-out now to our on-air affiliates who are just now rejoining our network. And we're talking about Syria. We're talking about the OPCW is now on the ground at Douma, trying to find any evidence that chemical weapons were in fact used. Meanwhile, the U.S., never one to admit to having done wrong, is now back to their story claiming Russia has hacked the Syrian attack evidence. And that's the new Russian line, that everywhere that Assad has used chemical weapons, Syria and Russia clean it up real quick. And that even worse, Russia is planting the chemical weapons evidence on the rebels. Now, in an act of what is obvious desperation, the White House is now offering a cash reward of $10,000 to anybody who was a witness of a chemical attack in Douma. And the reward is now $5,000 in other cities. And you're going to get people who are going to come forward and just lie through their teeth because they need that money. That's a lot of money to a person in Syria. Actually, it's a lot of money to me. Not enough to make me lie, but it's a lot of money. Somebody posted on Twitter this comment about, my wife is using chlorine bleach on my undies. Does that qualify for the reward? Remember when the U.S. was in Iraq and they were grabbing totally innocent Iraqis, throwing them in Abu Ghraib and torturing them, some of them to death, to find the weapons of mass destruction, which turned out not to exist. There was a reward program there. And that's how they tagged these people. They offered this huge reward for information on anybody who might know about the WMDs and Iraqis use the opportunity to get a little bit of money, get rid of a business rival or a romantic rival. You know, offering this reward, I mean, they're going to get a bunch of liars coming out of the woodwork. And, of course, the corporate media will say, see, we have a witness. Now, here's something you need to keep in mind. The BBC is reporting that experts over in Salisbury are saying it will take months to remove all traces of whatever nerve agent was used on the Skripals from Salisbury. And yet we're supposed to believe the Russians were able to clean up all traces of the chemical weapon attack in Douma in a matter of a couple of days. That's how ridiculous the lies are getting. For propaganda to work, it must be believable. It must be able to survive at least a cursory analysis by the people listening to it. And if it can't do that, it's a failure as propaganda. All right, let's take a phone call here from Mike in Chicago. Mike, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike. Staying on topic. I just heard today that, Assad is he's a nationalist, and he's a good person. Christians. You know, he's not just anti-Christian at all. He wouldn't do something like this to his people also, that way I understand this. And again, I this is all hanky panky. I guess Trump doesn't have a choice, really. But I would imagine that Israel has something to do with it, and we shouldn't be getting involved with all of this garbage. We have so many problems, like we talk about every day. But my main point is I just want to say that if you're sympathetic to Christians, good people, just look, there's good Muslim, there's good Christian, there's good Jews, you know. And how can everybody hate the Jews if they're only a very small portion of the whole world? I don't get that either. You know, that doesn't sound feasible. But
well, it's just part of Israel's propaganda. Everybody hates the Jews, and that's absolutely ridiculous. The Jews inevitably do cause a lot of friction in the communities they move into because they want to live apart. They don't want to assimilate or integrate. But most Jews are, they're just like everybody else. They want to take care of their families. They want to take care of their business. We're talking about the actions of a very few people at the top of the government of Israel. And they scream anti-Semitism, anti-Semitism. No, it isn't anti-Semitism at all. You know, it's anti-dictatorship. It's anti-war crime. But that's not it. I mean, my first wife was Jewish. My very best friend in Hollywood, Renee Valente, was Jewish. And she was one of the very few people who stayed in contact with me after my blacklisting. And that showed a lot of character and courage on her part, I have to say. I can talk about her now that she's passed away. But while she was still alive, I never dared mention her because I didn't want to bring harm down on her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want to stay on topic real quick, and I'll let you go. I read an article today on the catastrophe that we're heading into with pensions, the unfunded liabilities. And Harvey was the focus of the article. And I guess they actually lost 10% of their population. They are now going into receivership with the state. The state now is garnishing the town's wages, because these unfunded pension liability, it has to get paid, and that the state will come in and like the IRS and garnish the town's wages, and then what happens after that? It's kind of like bankruptcy. Then they have to start laying off the fire department, the police, and they have to take pay cuts. And there's no taxpayers around, you know, to pick up any of these pieces. And it's almost like out of the 400 or 500 pensions in Illinois that are on this same path, it seems like this Harvey is going to be like the poster child. Sort of like Detroit went under, you know what I mean? So we were keeping an eye on that. I was just, wow, that blew my mind today. And how, the Wall Street doesn't think about any of this. And, these promises are not being funded. You know, they're promising, returns, 30-40% above inflation. I mean, that's just never going to happen. And then, I guess the unions and the government, the municipality, they think they're just going to get bailed out by the taxpayer,
But when everybody runs out of money, that thinking breaks down. This goes all the way back to George Herbert Walker Bush and the first SNL bailout, where they just tried to set up this model that no matter what fails in our economic system, the taxpayers can cover it. But then they went and they declared war on the taxpayers. They've lowered wages and salaries to basically borderline starvation levels. And when you lower wages and salaries, you also lower your tax revenues. And so it's a dead-end path here. And when everybody runs out of money, everything stops working. I think we're going to see a lot of towns just simply go out of business and just evaporate. They're going to be abandoned towns. We saw that in the 1930s. Entire towns, everybody's moved away because they couldn't have a functioning economy where they were anymore.
Yeah, I would challenge people to type in Google Harvey pension obligations, and maybe pull that article up. It's because they lost 10% of their population. Their promises are way higher than their private sector money creation, capital creation. I don't you know, when you see this, and then, like you said, everybody leaves, right? Everybody's been leaving Illinois, I understand, too. You don't hear any of this, yeah. I don't shop.
No, you don't. We have negative population growth here in Hawaii. We're losing 11 families a day on average.
The only thing I see out here in the parking lot is a couple jackrabbits. That doesn't count.
Well, tax them.
I'll let you go.
Tax them. We need a rabbit tax.
Oh, yeah. He's looking at me right now. Okay. See you, Mike.
All right, thanks an awful lot. We're going to switch over to Dustin in New Jersey. Aloha, Dustin. Welcome back to the show. What's on your mind?
Breaking news, Mike. Putin got caught with a sponge and a mop trying to clean down the scene.
Well, he should have used a Swiffer. That's all I can say.
Now, how stupid... I mean, if anybody believed that, there would be, like, remnants on, like, the ground, on the walls, because it would be outside, obviously. So it's impossible to clean down a scene like that. I mean, that's just laughable. Come on now. You know, I mean,
of course it is. But, you know, the motto of the U.S. government, if at first you don't succeed, lie again.
It's not just the U.S. government, Mike. It's the British government, the French government. This is the new axis of evil, Mike.
Yes.
These are the kings of the world, Mike.
Yep. Yeah,
they think they're rulers of, and you know who's blocking them, Mike? Russia. You know? That's it. Mike, you remember Oliver Stone did an interview with Putin a while ago? Like a documentary on him. Did you see there's a newer one?
No, I didn't, but I can't wait to see it.
Well, no, Mike, it was done after Putin's, when he addressed Congress, and Oliver Stone talked about, you know, with the new weapon system. And you know what Oliver Stone says? Putin's getting ready. He's ready, basically. He knows what's coming.
Well, so does Xi Jinping. Everybody knows what's coming, and everybody knows who's doing it, everybody is basically doing what they can to try and defend themselves. That's why North Korea was trying to get nuclear weapons, to basically deter a U.S. attack.
And Mike, did you see Trump saying, like, talking about how the missiles hit all their targets? And don't watch those videos of them getting shot out of the air, though. It's like he was pitching for Raytheon of the Tomahawk missile, which he did the same. Remember when he sat down with MBS and he had the picture of all the weapons? The guy's a psychopath.
He's a salesman. He's a salesman. You know, the side benefit of stirring up all these wars in all these countries is the U.S. weapons makers are going around making deals. And unfortunately, of course, Russia is out there selling weapons as well. And apparently Russian weapons are starting to outsell American weapons in certain categories.
I'll tell you one thing. That Buk system really come through, the Buk M2. Wow, man, that was one of the best systems. That's from the 70s.
Yeah, that's 30-year-old technology. You know, so much for Trump's tweet about our missiles are coming in fast and smart. Not smart enough.
Well, missile tech from Russia is 20 to 25 years. Remember, I told you they had the world's fastest torpedo that's 200 miles an hour underwater called the Shirval.
Yes.
So, Mike, one more thing real quick. I just want to mention Larry Wilkerson also did a interview, and he says basically what we're doing, we're an empire, obviously. You can tell. And we're using, you know, it's like the democracy thing of world domination. So we go into an area for like oil companies and natural resource type of things, and just basically, you know, if the leader doesn't get out of the way, we'll kill him and the indigenous population. You know, can you imagine the government telling the people that of the country, saying, "It just tell us the truth"? I bet you there'd be percentage of population of this country and Britain and France would be okay with that, Mike. Just killing.
I think
all
it would
Indians,
be a very small percentage. I think it would be a very small percentage. Most people are humanitarian at heart. The ones who would be all in favor of, as you say, they're invested in the companies. They're making money from all the bloodshed. Anyway, listen, I got to let you go. We got to take a break for commercials. We'll be back with more phone calls after these few words.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
As a listener of RBN, you're surely concerned about being informed and being ready for whatever may come. Please consider the following questionnaire as a soul-jarring wake-up call. If you answer no to more than two of these following questions, you probably aren't going to make it through any major disruption in our country. The questions were compiled by people that have been there. Are you really ready? Do you own your own firearm for the primary defense and protection of you and your loved ones? Have you ever been professionally trained to stand against life-threatening behavior? Have you ever practiced enough to fire 500 rounds during a 2 to 4 day time frame, day and night? Can you load, unload, fire, and clear a jam in total darkness? Have all the adults in your household been professionally trained? Are you, life and death, comfortable with your abilities with pistol, revolver, shotgun, and rifle? Are you aware that everything that you do to prepare for an emergency is a waste of time, money, and energy? If you haven't honed your abilities to their highest level to protect and keep what you have, do you have the repair parts that will most likely be needed for each of your firearm, and do you have the ability to install those parts? Could you completely clean every firearm you own? Are you aware that your body won't go where your mind hasn't been? In other words, without proper training, followed by regular practice, you probably will not win a gunfight. Well, how did you measure up? Take the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to start correcting your deficiencies by receiving your Commander Lifetime Membership with Front Sight Firearms Training Facility. A one-time donation to RBN for $500 will give you a Commander Lifetime Membership at Front Sight as a tremendously huge thank you bonus. See details on RBN's webpage to make it happen. The clock is ticking. You had better be ready before it happens.
We will not go down in the night without a fight. You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And that Front Sight deal is really very good. If you go over to whatreallyhappened.com or republicbroadcasting.org, up at the top you'll see a link that goes to the Front Sight Training Academy's own webpage. There's a video there that shows everything that goes on there. If I lived on the mainland, anywhere around that part of the country, I would go for this deal myself. That's how sweet it really, really is. And remember, this deal ends on May 5th. So you really need to act now. All right, back to the phones. Kathleen in Paris, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi, Michael. I was listening to somebody you know, Ryan Dawson.
Oh, yes.
And he was speaking about why our attack on Syria was what he called lame, that they didn't shoot any supersonic, you know, that it was all easily shot down stuff, slow missiles, I guess. Anyway, his theory on why we did that was not really an aggressive attack, but to what he called light up the grid and be able to see where their defenses were coming from.
Well, that's a very expensive way to figure out where the defenses are. And, of course, Syria's and Russia's air defense units are mobile. And my guess is they're already being relocated.
Yeah, quite likely. The other thing
what I would
about,
do.
Yeah, some of them are on, even on pickups, aren't they, on trucks?
Well, yeah, they have their own trucks. The Buk missile is a truck mount launcher, and I don't know what else was being used. But these days, all of this stuff, you know, comes with its own transporters. I know that Syria has some heavy caliber machine guns mounted on the back of regular trucks, but that's not as effective an air defense weapon unless you've got aircraft coming in really low for like strafing runs and stuff, which wasn't the case here.
Well, the other thing I wanted to talk about was the attack from all sides on Ryan Dawson. That really, he's in a world of hurt from Twitter and Facebook and YouTube and all of it. And so I was wondering if you might like to invite him on. He seems
Ryan comes on here anytime he wants to, and you know, he calls into the show on a regular basis. Ryan and I go back many, many years, more than I can remember. We first got together when Ryan was working with his brother on what happened to the people on the lost colony of Roanoke. Subsequently, it's turned out that the Dawson brothers' theories have been borne out as to what actually happened to those people. So, yeah, Ryan and I have been in touch a lot of years. He makes good videos, and he's definitely one of the good guys.
Okay, so I will leave a comment for him that he should get in touch with you.
I'll drop him a letter and ask him if he wants to come on the show. As far as being attacked on Twitter or Facebook or YouTube, from my point, I just ignore it all. I mean, I did have that public chat up on my website as an experiment, two-thirds of everything in there was just screaming attacks on me, so I just shut it down. I just don't care anymore. I got better things to do than worry about that stuff.
Yeah, but that's his income, you know.
I'm surprised that he has not been... No, that's not his sole income. I'm not going to go into details, but that's not his sole income. It's terrible to lose the income from your YouTube videos, but then YouTube has never allowed me to monetize any of my videos, either my political videos or even the music videos I make for Claire, some of which are pretty tame and banal, but we've never been authorized for monetization.
Huh, okay. Well, yeah, you know, after I discovered Ryan Dawson, I saw one time that he filled in for you.
Yes.
And had Larkin Rose on.
Yep.
Interviewing. So my favorite guys, Larkin Rose and Dawson and you, and I was going, wow, this is a great party to be at. Okay.
Well, except that I wasn't there for that party. All right. Well, Kathleen, thanks an awful lot.
Okay.
We're going to let you go. Okay.
Ciao.
That delay in the line is why we talk over each other. So are you done?
Yeah. Thank you.
Oh, okay. All right. Au revoir. And we will let you go here. We're coming up on another commercial break, so I'm not going to start a new phone call. Meanwhile, as we reported earlier, Putin is reinforcing the Russian presence in Syria. Two warships full of new vehicles are on the way or have probably already arrived by now. So this is getting serious. We're going to take another break for commercials. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
homeowners. Are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. We're going to go back to the phones to a caller who identifies himself only as the old man. Aloha, old man. And I question that unless you've got a few years on me. What's on your mind today?
Actually, you've got a couple of years on me.
Well, so you not, should have identified yourself as the kid. You're the kid now.
Anyhow, I want to mention, talk to you about computer chip technology. Back in 1994, the NSA announced that they wanted to put a computer chip in every phone, fax, and computer that would allow them instant access, irregardless of the software. And it was called the Clipper chip.
Yes, I remember that.
And the computers industry fought it. They said, we don't want this in our computers. And the NSA said, okay, we won't do it. Well, about 6 months later, they started to do it anyway. And the original Clipper chip was only 13-bit encryption. And on some of the cell phones, you could bypass it and it would work, but others you couldn't.
So well, actually, can I just interrupt here for a second, because it was found on the cell phone chips, the high order bits were always set to zero, which made a brute force attack on that phone that much quicker and faster and easier to do. So consumers who were buying those phones were being told that it was actually 16, not 13, 16-bit encryption, but it was really only 8-bit encryption.
Well, I was told by let's just say I know somebody in NSA, met somebody in NSA, in the very department that developed it, and he mentioned 13 bit. So anyhow, the problem is what they went on to do is this computer chip is now in a lot of the military equipment that they're selling around the world, and that's from the United States and from Israel, and that includes to friendly countries. So when, say, for example, a European country buys the FA-18 jet and they upgrade it, they find out that this upgrade includes this chip, so that during normal practice, the jet will work fine. But during a war, if the U.S. or Israel doesn't want that plane to fly, well, it won't fly. Or it can actually crash while it's flying, and the weapons won't work. And this is one of the reasons why many of the countries in Europe are hesitant to get involved in any type of intervention anywhere. And they're looking to upgrade their electronics themselves on some of the equipment.
Yes.
And so it's I haven't heard anybody else really talk about it very much.
Well, and, I haven't heard about it being in weapons or anything like that. I know about
it is in the weapons.
Let me make a point here. First of all, I want to back on up here a little bit. The reason Clipper chip failed was that supposedly the key for your encryption would be split in two and entrusted to two separate escrow agencies. And what the NSA wasn't mentioning was that you only needed one of the keys to derive the other one mathematically. Then it came on out that the encryption key was actually embedded in the encrypted message itself, which made reading it very, very easy. You didn't have to go get the key escrow. It was all just a blind to try and convince the American people to trust this government-sanctioned encryption, which you should never do. And that's why I wrote that article, Rivero Challenges the NSA. If you need to keep secrets from the government, you got to write your own encryption. Now, the idea of playing dirty with our allies goes all the way back to Bletchley Park and cracking the Enigma code. Because after World War II was over, Great Britain and the United States made presents of captured German Enigma machines to our allies, our friendly governments, without mentioning the fact that they could read the messages sent on that device. So the idea that there might be something embedded in America's exported weapons is not beyond the realm of possibility. The only thing that might limit it is whether or not they could get a signal to the aircraft, which is obviously going to be quite far away from the nearest Wi-Fi point, and with successful jamming, might not work at all. And that would be the real key. Find out what frequency that chip is responding to and just install a jammer on every weapon that you think has one of these chips, and they will be immune.
Yeah. Well, I mentioned the equivalent of the Clipper chip. In other words, the similar concept, not that it was the Clipper chip itself that's in the military equipment. About a year and a half ago, I didn't see the article myself, but I talked to someone who is more fluent in Auf Deutsch than I am. And they talked about how the Swiss government went public with this. And they are, at this time, looking to upgrade much of their electronic equipment themselves. So this is not...
That would be the smart thing to do. I'm almost wondering if maybe that's what Russia twigged onto when they paralyzed the Donald Cook. That they figured out these chips are there, and they figured out the frequency to activate them, because they just shut that ship down up there in the Black Sea.
Yeah, when I heard you talk about that on your show, I said to myself, you know what, either they figured it out, or Israel is playing both sides, which they sometimes do, and
yes.
The Russians acquired that technology, and I'm sure as soon as they upgrade those new ships, that Russia will right away have a new way to break into it again. Figured it out by then. It's amazing. I remember when you talked about that and you said that they had to tow the ship back to the United States.
Which, they didn't tow it back to the United States. They towed it back to port in the Black Sea.
The Black Sea?
Yeah.
The one from the Black Sea, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you mentioned that they had to tow it back, yeah.
They had to tow it back to the port in the Black Sea.
Oh, in the Black Sea. Okay. I misunderstood you. But, you know, when people talk about software this and that, it's, you know, it's really the chip. And when I looked at the website for Electronic Frontier Foundation and Electronic Privacy Information Center a few years ago, I saw, you know, articles that said, oh, well, they, you know, they were going to do it, but they decided not to, and this and that. So, you know, I think those two websites, you know, are good in general, but in certain areas, I don't know, I get a sense it might be a little bit of controlled disinformation on, you know, some of the information.
Well, let's look at it from a practical point of view. First of all, if the U.S. is putting these chips in weapons that we sell to our friends, the expectation is we're not going to be at war with our friends, and we're not going to have to knock their aircraft out of the sky, you know, with a computer signal. But at the same time, you're making those exported weapons more vulnerable to electronic countermeasures by other countries. And so I could see why there might be people saying this really isn't such a good idea after all.
Well, let's just say I know somebody, you know, within military intelligence, and they had no idea of it. And they looked into it, and they said that I was accurate. And they were not told. They weren't told about this. They were shocked. So, you know, I don't think the U.S. is telling, you know, all their friends who they're selling this equipment to what they've really done in the upgrades.
Of course they wouldn't tell them. I mean, countries like Great Britain or France or Germany, if they found out that there was a U.S.-controlled kill switch in the weapons being offered for sale, they wouldn't buy them. They absolutely would not buy them.
I think the smart thing for Europe, at least, is to develop their own technology and not rely on the U.S. and Israeli weapons technology. You know, because then
it's kind of foolish to call it Israeli weapons technology, because Israel just takes the weapons the U.S. develops and gives to them, then they reverse engineer it and they manufacture their own variation for sale.
Yeah. So U.S. and Israeli. Anyhow, I just wanted to mention that to you, and it seems to me that I would like to hear more discussion about this, because everybody talks about software. And I don't hear enough talking about the hardware aspect.
Well, again, I can imagine a lot of this stuff is, in fact, classified. Again, the more I think about it, the more I think it's a very foolish thing to do to your allies. And obviously, there's no way to get that chip into the weapons being developed by our potential enemies, such as Russia and China. But in a changing world where our friends can become our enemy overnight, who knows?
Yeah, look at Turkey. Turkey is a NATO ally, and yet, you know, they're moving over to Russia. You know, so some of this stuff is fluid. You know, and even Hungary and, you know, a few other countries are starting to question the U.S. So,
I question the U.S. all the time. Anyway, listen, thank you for the phone call. Thank you for the technical information. I'm going to have to think about this a little bit. The primary weakness I'm seeing in this idea is whether you can actually get some kind of a controlling signal to these weapon systems in the middle of combat without having something very obvious, you know, acting as an emitter, which would draw the attention of any kind of an anti-radiation missile. Anyway, thanks for the phone call. We're going to let you go, and we're going to get back to the war in Syria, which everybody's saying, this is not over. This is not over at all. Anyway, article coming out of Information Clearinghouse, basically just talking about Nikki Haley, is out there saying that all plans to pull U.S. forces out of Syria have been shelved. And the reason they did that, this was a tacit admission of defeat in Syria. After 7 years, Assad was still running the show. The dodge that we were just there to get ISIS and Al-Qaeda is over because Syria, together with Russia, got rid of ISIS and Al-Qaeda. And so now the U.S. is back to just saying, yeah, we're there to overthrow the regime. Now, for you, the American people, I need you to think about this very, very carefully. Because we've all grown up being sold wars on the idea of we have to save the people from an evil tyrant. We have to bring them democracy. Assad is not an evil tyrant. It's a democratic state. He's won his elections. International observers are saying their elections are very honest and fair. They have a good system, much better than we do in the United States of America. So now the U.S. government is just out there saying, we're going to invade Syria and kick out the government just because that's what we want to do. Is that something that you want your tax money to go toward? Is that something you are willing to sacrifice your children for? Is that something that makes you proud to be an American? And I think the answer for all three of those questions is going to be no. No, this is not what the United States of America is supposed to be about. Now, as you know, there's been this back and forth about American boots on the ground. We have U.S. Army on the ground, and sometimes they say yes, and sometimes they say no. But the U.S. apparently does have a lot of mercenaries. And the Pentagon is now acknowledging that they have 5,500 what they call contractors inside Syria. That's another reason why the war is so expensive, because mercenaries get paid a lot more than conscripted troops do. Now, over at the University of Illinois College of Law, there's a professor, Francis Boyle, and I've linked to him many times through the years, and he's got a very level head. He's a professor of international law, and basically came on out and said that the strike on Syria is indefensible under U.S. law and under international law. And none of these justifications make any sense at all. The U.S. is taking the position that because Assad supposedly gassed his own people, the U.S. has a right to intervene. So please remember that back on April 19th, 1993, the United States government used a poison gas banned for use in war on a church full of women and children in Waco, Texas. So according to the thinking of the United States government, Russia now has a right to intervene in the United States. Now, obviously, we're 2 days away from Patriots Day, which was April 19th. It's the anniversary of the attack on Waco. It's the anniversary of the battles of Lexington and Concord, which pretty much launched the American Revolution. Anniversary of the bombing of the Murrah Federal Building in Oklahoma City. It's an ideal date for a staged false flag attack. So everybody needs to be alert. Because right now, the U.S. government is dealing with an American population that is war weary. We're sick and tired of war. We're sick and tired of bearing the cost of the war. We do not see that there is a moral or legal necessity for any of this. So the U.S. is going to have to do something scary. Just terrorize us into going along with the war agenda. Okay, apparently ISIS resumed their assault on the southeastern countryside of Homs, striking the Syrian Arab Army's positions near the town of Muhassa, and apparently didn't do all that well, even with the U.S. flying air support for them in the middle of the night. Iran's senior member of parliament, Alaeddin Borajerdi, who's the chairman of the Iranian Parliament's Foreign Policy and National Security Commission, is traveling to Syria to discuss the U.S. attacks on Syria. And I think this signals that Iran is getting ready to increase their support to Syria against the U.S. aggression. Now, Israel all of a sudden is out there talking tough and saying that they have a right to unlimited operations in the airspace over Syria, which is completely nonsense. Nobody has a right to invade somebody else's country, which is what Israel is doing. They're flying in Syrian airspace and they're dropping bombs and missiles. Russia, of course, has been telling Israel they should kind of stay within their own borders. And Avigdor Lieberman, Israel's defense minister, is out there lecturing Russia, saying, you cannot limit our actions in Syria. We're Israel. We will go wherever we want. We will bomb whoever we want, and nobody can stop us. You know, considering that the Jews like to think they're so intelligent and so creative, you'd think they'd come up with a more clever way of handling their disputes other than bomb, kill, bomb, kill, bomb, kill, bomb, kill. We'll be back after these commercials.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
If you are one of the millions of people who get migraines, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist who created MigRelief, the patented dietary supplement that addresses nutritional deficiencies in adults and children with migraines. Thousands of physicians and pharmacists recommend MigRelief.
Call 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. May 5th is the last day you will hear this offer on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
About 6 months ago, my wife bought Extendivite. She didn't tell me she was giving it to me. So after about 3 days, I said, maybe the weather's changed or something. I said, my legs feel really good. And she goes, well, I've been giving you this stuff, and it was the Extendivite. And you know that I'm about 75% better. I can actually climb stairs now, and I can get up out of chairs. I can even get down and, I have to work under a table or a computer table and work on a computer. I can actually get back up off the floor. You know what? It's an amazing product. I didn't think anything short of having surgery was going to help.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit partdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
When all this twisted steel was swept away, did these remaining holes reveal what really happened?
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. We're going to go back to the phones now. James in Ohio, aloha. Welcome to the show, James. What's on your mind?
Hi. I've been meaning to call in for a few days. I was unaware of Patriots Day, but I do know that April the 20th is Hitler's birthday, and they usually like to celebrate it in some manner or another, like Columbine or the Murrah Federal
Building. I'm sorry. I don't feel like sending a birthday card. Call me picky. No, no. I'm just not going to send a birthday card this year.
I'm just saying that we should be watching out for some big event, some kind of staged event, because they usually do something right around this time, somewhere between the 15th and the 20th. And as far as the Syrian airstrikes, over the weekend at least, I had a new respect for Alex Jones, because once I considered the implications for a while, I wept as well, because I know it's the beginning of a slippery slope, and sure enough, you know, he's backing up on TPP, talking about getting back into that and everything. The unfortunate thing about politics on the right is, especially with a strongman type leader, it's a cult of personality, so once they're gone, there usually isn't somebody that can fill their shoes, you know. So we have to figure out what to do, an alternative.
Trump's personality cult is already collapsing, but yeah. it don't say it's on the right. It's also on the left. Hillary's entire campaign in 2016 was a personality cult focused on her. And it's still largely intact, unfortunately, which is why I'm worried she might actually try and come back in 2020.
Right. Well, that's about all I got for you. I would say that I know anybody who has any common sense wants to resolve everything peacefully, but the more time goes on, the tools with which we have to deal with things are becoming coarser and coarser, the brush broader and broader, and it's either a matter of acquiescing and just going along into the killing chute or not. And that's unfortunate, but that's all I have for you today. Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you very much for the phone call. We're going to let you go. It's a very scary time. There's no question about that. And again, I don't think the affairs in Syria are over. Now, Israel is once again back to playing Monday morning quarterback, or if you prefer, spectator. And apparently Israeli intelligence is out there saying that Trump's Syria strike basically was a failure and didn't take out much of anything. Israel would have preferred strikes on Syria's military rather than on these suspected chemical weapons locations, which seems to be turning out didn't have any chemical weapons. Little bit of an embarrassment there for the United States. All right, we're going to take a break for station identification. We'll be back with hour number two after these few words.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product. It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s. Along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Listening.
Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.